Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
19?
Now, the series, when you watch the anime, it's set in 2015. So this is happening in, I believe it's September 2000.
Uh-oh.
Kawaii Desune Lore Boys here. The internet's number one anime podcast returns once again for a third impact of Nihon goodness. I am the head of NERV, Peter O'Donohue, and I'm joined by...
It's me, magical girl Ethan.
Ohio, it's me, James Miller.
Columbus, Ohio, it's me, James Miller.
Yeah.
Lore City, Ohio.
We're taking it over. I think during our community night, which you can join on Discord linked below, we Googled the population of Lore City is lower than that of the Discord. So we don't even need to mobilize all the troops. We got them.
Some people could say home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We got at least a couple regiments in the back just in case somebody twists an ankle on the way, right?
Yeah. With the Ohio situation, like, remember when we looked up that map with the correspondence of radiation to preference for type of porn? And yes. Anywhere where there's high concentrations of radiation, they enjoy hentai. So
yeah.
Maybe anime is going up with the pollution in
Ohio. I wonder if liquid PVC makes you like anime or some other kind of weird porn.
Yeah.
Anyway, since we always cover anime, and we're finally going to be doing a big one this week, we're doing Neon Genesis Evangelion, the anime with the tools, the analog clock, and the worst burger I've ever seen. So if you guys want to bring up the pictures that you already spoiled for yourselves earlier, take a look and describe what you see.
Okay, we're just watching all, looking at
just
all
the
of
one
them.
Of them, the first one.
Just the first one.
Yeah.
So we got a. Oh, okay, because it's wider. I see. Because if you don't click the image, you just get the clock. Okay,
I'm aware. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't know Discord was going to format it like that.
Okay, so on the left we have UN NERV, and I think NERV is a thing, right? The NERV.
It's one of the organizations. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we've got like a bunch of tools. I guess are these like.
It's just a regular toolkit, but it's Evangelion colored.
They're Evangelion colored? Okay. Not are these officially branded?
Yep.
Very nice. Then we've got anime girl. she's on the face of a clock, but one of her nipples is like
I didn't notice
the
that.
And
yeah.
Nexus where the hands come out of. So she's got like
she
one
has
giant nipple.
Post 9/11 eyes too. Is this made after 9/11?
What?
Well, someone posted
a meme posted in Discord.
Oh, okay.
Is that,
sorry.
Like, anime eyes got smaller after 9/11 for some reason.
I didn't know that. But no, the anime came out in 1998.
So
I don't think it's possible it caused 9/11.
Oh, jeez.
There's no proof that it didn't.
Well, yeah, it's the anime eyes didn't match the time, and so yeah, they had to, you know, something had to be done for it.
Exactly.
Didn't
Osama bin Laden have like a bunch of like pirated anime on his laptop?
he had a copy of Half-Life 1. I know that. He had a pirated copy of Half-Life 1 on his laptop, which is great. All that Hunter Biden had was foot porn, but at least Osama had good taste in video games, right?
Uh-huh. There's a 9-pattied hamburger next to the clock, which is a different picture, by the way. It's for 1,280 yen, which I don't know how expensive.
I don't know how much that would have been. Yeah, it also comes with a fork, like an Evangelion branded fork that I don't know why you would need. That is the same shape as one of the like a trident that we're going to talk, or a bident, I guess, that we're going to talk about.
I think that this is Hunter Bident,
obviously.
I think it's too many. Anything past two or three, like, it's just impractical, you know?
You'd have to take it apart to eat it, for sure.
Yeah.
Using your bite.
I think three patties is too many for a burger, personally, but that is my weak Canadian stomach looking at something like this.
If you go for the smash, like, those traditional, like, ultra-thin smash burgers that you get on the grill there, you can go up to three because they're thin as hell. But
Double quarter pounder is as big as it gets.
This reminds me of something, and I actually, this reminds me that I wanted to talk about something on the bonus content. I didn't. So the normies are getting some bonus audio content. This is the kind of stuff you, if you want to subscribe, you'll get this week's discussion about Subway sandwiches. But do you guys remember there was a period of our lives when we were young enough that I think we like normalized this, and the thought struck me the other day and I was like, that was wild, and then it just suddenly stopped. Do you remember how every couple of months razor companies would just add another blade?
Yeah.
It was just like in the 80s, early 90s, like it was one blade, you know, you got one razor blade and that's what you shaved with or whatever. And then at some point, I guess somebody put a second one on there. And then there was just this arms race where it was like Gillette Mach 7. And there was like seven blades with another blade on the back for like fine sculpting. But it just stops one day.
I have one. Those... I have a Mach 5, I think. And yeah, I have it from those years. And I changed my razor probably only like once every 2 years. Like really not as much as you're supposed to.
But you have a beard. It's like you don't shave. I mean, an electric one.
I do it for my neck. Neck and cheeks.
Those commercials would make me want to shave. Like I couldn't fucking wait. Because the people that made the new blade razor commercials, right? Like... Yeah. Are like running the MCU now, like because that's hype. That's hype.
The way that it would zoom in and go to the sideways cartoon thing, and you could see where like
and there's like aloe on it now, so you don't get razor burn. Anyway,
it's just more blades. Like what difference does that make? And then one day they all agreed, like, yeah, this is getting out of hand. We can't do an eighth of blade. That's too many blades.
I think someone at Gillette like witnessed the face of God, and he just came back and he was like, no more blades.
There is a comedy sketch, the Empyrean of Heaven. There is a comedy sketch where they just keep adding more and more, and they get up to like 16 blades, and it's like higher than the guy's head. I forget it was like Mad TV or SNL or what,
So speaking of glimpses. The face of God. Have you guys ever watched Evangelion? It's on Canadian Netflix.
No, I saw it. I've seen like an episode or two whenever I was a child because I'd go to my cousin's place and they had cable, and my older cousin enjoyed it.
My friend April, who I worked with, they were really into Evangelion and screaming in their metal band, and I liked their music, but I wasn't sure about the Evangelion, so I didn't take the plunge. But they talked very highly of it.
Fair enough, yeah. So I personally have watched most of the series, and the end of Evangelion, which is like, they got a bigger budget, and they redid the last episode, and it was like a two episodes fused into a movie, kind of like the Digimon movie like that we had talked about, was like three episodes spliced together or whatever.
Yeah.
The original ending budget was gone, so it goes from like an apocalyptic final fight to the final episode just being like a barely animated monologue where... Like the main character is like standing in a river with everyone from the show just clapping and saying congratulations. It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest fucking thing on the planet.
It is amazing to run out of budget on the last episode.
The 11th
like
hour.
Coming up on it. Like, but like, why not? Like, man, that's such bad forecasting. To like, you got to know 4 episodes ahead of time how it's going to end. Like, do the last episode then, right? And then find a filler episode in the middle.
I guess the production pipeline was episode 1 first, and then they just ran out of money at however many episodes there are, right?
Yeah.
And a quick fair warning to super fans, I have always hated the main character, Shinji Ikari. So going forward, if I say anything fucked up, I am sorry in advance. I know the creator of Evangelion, or Eva, his name is Hideaki Anno. He dealt with like clinical depression a lot, so he wrote it into his characters. I just don't vibe with that style. And obviously, if somebody has dealt with or is dealing with mental health, they might have more kindred spirit with Shinji. But
if you're dealing with mental health issues, stop watching anime and talk to someone you love.
Yeah. Step one, talk to a therapist. Step two, stop watching anime.
Yeah, exactly.
We're literally just talking on the bonus content about how Pete's the bully of the show. And he starts this episode by saying, like, the depressed character is just totally unrelatable. And I think he's a loser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a lot of the conflict. Obviously, it's the point of the show, right? And again, people can write characters however they want. Like, a lot of the conflict in the show is just like, if he was anyone else and like had any ability to function, no one else would have died. Right. Yeah. Like it's always just like, because I know I've heard at least that it's terrible. Like some days you just can't get out of bed. And like when your purpose is to get out of bed and fight alien monsters and you can't, that gets people killed. So it's like, it's difficult. The show's great. And again, like I'm prefacing this now with
that's
just like
the metaphor, right? Is like everyday life is getting out of bed and fighting monsters.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. So it's just, if I make fun of Shinji going forward, sorry in advance. I like the show a lot. So I mean, no disrespect. Like I was saying, the show is currently available, or at least was yesterday when I checked, on March 25th, 2023. It's on Canadian Netflix. I think it's worth the watch. And it's probably on the anime one. It's probably on Crunchyroll if you're that kind of person.
Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I think we have someone on Facebook who contact us works at Crunchyroll, so crunch at us.
Yeah.
It's like free passes and stuff.
Crunch at us, Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Crunchyroll at us. I know who that is. She's very active on Instagram. Loves cats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so clearly, though, everybody who listens to the show has watched it because this is one of our most highly requested episodes. So on the server, we had patron Squill request this, and he was backed up by Logs, Tiny Pluto, and the Last Phyrexian Praetor. Our most notorious anime fan, Saucy, also at some point, while trying to guess an episode in the patron channels, you can sign up to find out that, was like, no, it couldn't possibly be Evangelion. I was like, oh yeah, I got your ass, bitch. I fucking got you.
I remodeled the Discord server since last week, and now we even have an anime channel. So
Thank God for
those folks who want to have those chats, there's a place to do it at least.
Maybe put up a fence around Ohio, and it's just like, man, this is so much better.
Keep Saucy in.
For new listener anime fans who haven't already turned this episode off because we haven't gotten to the anime yet, you can... Yeah. Join the link to our Discord in the description and come chat.
That's the ones.
And also the lore request channel that we have has like a Google sheet where people have written things down. It had like 10 upvotes as well. So people love Evangelion. And finally, the last bit of housekeeping. I know it's a bit slow sometimes for us here because we just love to talk shit. Welcome to new patron Ben Keener, who is the freshest faced among them. Yes. So, Eva, which is what I'm going to call Evangelion. It's the official abbreviation in universe as well. Eva briefly starts billions of years ago when a chaotic and young planet Earth is impacted by another celestial body. Real scientists believe that about 4.5 billion years ago, a young Earth was impacted by another smaller planet called Theia, roughly the size of Mars, which increased the size of Earth's core and also the debris of which formed the moon.
Made the moon.
We definitely talked about it before. There's no real proof of this, but people are like, oh, Earth's core is kind of big compared to the rest of the planet. And the moon, like our only satellite, is quite large in comparison to the planet as well. So like, hey, maybe there's some proof here. There's also a theory that Theia brought most of Earth's water from like more distant, colder parts of the solar system as well.
Yeah. You know, cosmic journalism or whatever, like whatever it is, talking about what's happening in space.
I think it's called astronomy.
Astronomy.
Cosmic journalism.
Yeah, like astronomy would be the science of it. There might be like I think it's like science journalism.
Specifically astronomical.
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of science videos, so I get like the pop-ups on my phone, and they're always like, this mass could hit Earth and knock us completely off of a rotation, and Venus is going to be smashing into the sun. And then you read it and it's like, oh, we heard about this hypothetical object that might exist and we have no idea. And there's probably never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bad.
One of my favorite Twitch streamers is a guy named Carl Sagan 42, and he streams Mario and Mario Maker primarily, right? And he's a scientist, and like his day job is he's a virologist and develops vaccines, essentially. That's like his job. And he talks about it a lot, the problems with like science funding coming from publishing papers and publishing essentially articles for like everything funding science, because our governments refuse to do it because they're too busy like, I don't know, developing highways to a mine 7,000 miles or 7,000 kilometers up in the north, right? So much funding for science comes from like these articles, essentially. So like scientific papers have to be written so that these other journalists can write those articles about it, because that's like what leads to developments and breakthroughs in science.
Which it has to be a strong, it can't just be like, oh, we mapped out a whole new galaxy and that's cool. No, it's a super Earth might pass through our orbit next year and it might fuck everyone. And it's like, okay, cool.
So in the Eva story, the object that collided with Earth was not another planet. It was called the Black Moon. And it's like this perfectly spherical object that's actually a vessel containing the being that that we would come to call Lilith. And she's Lilith is a being called a seed of life. And it cruised around kind of in the liquid mantle of the Earth for millions and billions of years before coming to rest underneath what is now Hakone in Japan.
Okay.
So, what?
I don't know. I'm picturing Carl Sagan doing his, like, pale blue dot. Like, we live on a pale blue dot. We're all made of star dust. We all come hurtling down into planets in our dark moons, and we're born as people.
Yeah.
Made out of star stuff just means something completely different whenever you're...
It's still kind of true in this, right? Because Lilith, who is a seed of life, is from outside of the solar system. So around the Black Moon, which it's also referred to as like an egg or a vessel or a spaceship, it's very... It's one of those, like, so sci-fi, it's just a smooth sphere. It's like the Tic Tac, I guess. Like, there's no visible propulsion, you know, but what it is just, like, radar detecting a bird at a weird angle.
What about a Tic Tac?
The Tic Tac is, like, a super famous UFO that's just, like...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Tic Tacs were known for being perfectly smooth or something. And I guess are, but I never thought of them that way.
What about known for it?
The reason science doesn't get any funding, because instead of doing real research, they're finding out like how to make mints so like smooth, right?
Oh, true, yeah.
Can you draw a perfect circle? Can you make a perfect Tic Tac?
You like an electron microscope to see the divots like between the molecules of a Tic Tac. It's so smooth.
They have
Jesus
little,
make
like,
a Tic Tac so smooth even he would not be able to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, they can make nanobots to go down to that level and like put all the sugar spackle in between all of the pieces.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Jamie was pantomiming somebody like laying mortar between bricks, essentially.
You need to have like an atom-sized trowel to get in there, right? But that's like that was Jamie's Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. Is the movie is about shrinking down to the size of a Tic Tac and smoothing it out.
Right? yes.
So around it, after the Earth's crust had kind of solidified here, around it, the egg created a massive spherical cavern, which we would end up calling the geofront, and it would be used by humans in the future.
Cool.
Lilith and the Black Moon had been sent out into the galaxy by the first ancestral race. So please take your Ancient Aliens branded shot of corner store tequila now, because no matter what, I can't seem to get away from Ancient Aliens. They're my new magic rocks or whatever the fuck. They're just in everything.
Yep.
Good idea, by the way, that I'm going to do. I'm going to add for the Prime people all these pictures into a chat after the episode comes out so you can look together.
Yeah, no spoilies, but yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
Where was I here? Right, so they were sent out by the first ancestral race. Lilith's arrival would originally be referred to as the Great Impact and then later rebranded as the First Impact in the same way that obviously they didn't call World War I in 1919. Right.
So, I guess, is this like speculative? Like, we're speculating that Theia impacted the Earth, you know, 4.5 billion years ago or whatever? Or is this like Lilith wakes up at some point and tells them this?
You know what I mean? Neither. I mean, we're going to get into it. This is canon. Okay. This is not like, oh, yeah, like, obviously the evil egg was there. Like, no, they find it. They find it and like radiocarbon dated or however they date things that old, right?
And it's evil, we've learned now. Pete let slip. I tricked him into spoiling.
Could be. it's the Great Impact and then the First Impact, just like Great War, First World War. We know very little of the ancestral race, but we can infer that they were an intelligent race of probably humanoid beings living somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy. We know they created Lilith as well as six other seeds of life. And the moons that they traveled in, because the dead, as well as the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Lance of Longinus. The Lance of Longinus is like a spear that comes packaged with every seed of life. The lances are sent out with the seed, just like so that they can be deactivated, basically, if need be. It's just, it puts them in suspended animation. You stab them through the lance stabs them through the chest. They're very humanoid shaped, which is why we assume the first ancestral race was humanoid as well. But to be deactivated and put in a permanent suspended animation, the lance can, it seems sentient, it kind of acts on its own, will stab them through the chest and then just leave them frozen there forever until the lance is removed, basically.
Okay, and the Lance of Longinus is the spear that pierced Jesus' side when he was on the cross.
It is. Also that, yeah. In real life, Longinus was just a Roman guy.
Whoa, whose latitude or whatever?
Oh, the Lance of Longinus, the Shield of Latinus.
Yeah. How did you guys know that about the Jesus and the Lance thing? I never even heard about the Lance in the Jesus.
I don't know. He's got like a cut in his side. It's just like I think it came up in Assassin's Creed too. I think the Lance of Longinus is like a piece of Eden. Like anybody doing Old Testament sci-fi it seems to be there.
Oh. I knew because I Googled it just now. Because I was like, I know the Dead Sea Scrolls are like a real Hebrew manuscript, right? So like, I was like, yeah. I know those are a real artifact. I wonder if the Lance of Longinus is. And I looked it up.
Yeah, we have more on the Dead Sea Scrolls later because they're very important to the story of Evangelion.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So the ancestral race and the Dead Sea Scrolls is kind of also how like we know all this shit. So the ancestral race was facing extinction and formed themselves into the seven seeds and launched themselves into space. The ancestral race is actually never mentioned in the show, but they were restored to the game's canon via a PSP game, which cool. is great because okay. like I would love if I was going to write something, I would love for any of my plot holes to be filled. I am. Yeah. So if there's any plot holes in my comic,
holes to be filled by a nanobot
PSP game, dude, that's how it's just like, well, yeah. actually, if you played my PSP game, you'd know that wasn't a typo and you're an idiot. And I was right the whole time.
No, I made something explaining that for the Ouya. Okay. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. or Google Stadia. Check it out.
That's where we get a Clank game instead of a Ratchet and Clank, right?
Or on just, PSP.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Secret Agent Clank, I think.
I want a PSP still. Yeah. They're awesome.
Yeah, so in Secret Agent Clank, it is revealed that the Dead Sea Scrolls were actually the future predictions of the first ancestral race. So the seeds have some rules. The seeds is the general term for the beings that are launched out in the moons. The seeds have some rules because sci-fi needs rules, one of which is that there can only be one seed of life per planet, and if two or more end up together, they need to deactivate each other using the lances. That's why the lances are sent out with them. And obviously, to create conflict, two seeds ended up on Earth. So Lilith's Black Moon crash landed on Earth, despite Earth already being called by another seed of life, Adam. So you guys can open up the next picture here to see what Adam and Lilith look like, and you can describe them to the people.
So I like the way that it cuts off, by the way. I thought the guy on the left was like, imagine Boo dabbing. because it doesn't show the whole picture, but that's definitely a shoulder and not a head. It's the second picture we're looking at, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean the Majin Buu dabbing figure is a spooky ghost. So it's all white with just a fuzzy blue outline. I don't know what other descriptors to really give this thing.
No, that's it. Yeah, it's got huge like shoulders too. So
yeah, it's like humanoid, but the head is nestled into where the neck would be. Yeah. It kind of looks like the blueberry demons we were talking from WoW last week. Actually, they have the same shape.
The Voidwalkers,
top heavy.
Oh yeah, a little bit actually. Yeah,
And then the one on the right is our Bible symbolism, our Christian symbolism, I guess. It's a person on a cross being impaled with a spear or holy lance, nails through the hands, similar to Jesus. Where the legs should be, he seems to have tumors, which are sprouting miniature legs.
Yes. It reminds me of Sephiroth's mom in Final Fantasy VII.
Genoa, what's she called?
Yeah, I forget what her name is, but she is also an alien that crash lands into Final Fantasy the world. And
Nova.
Nova, yeah. She's like a Shinra secret project and looks a lot like this, like hands outstretched, T-pose, no legs, but mutations. And very cool.
Yeah, Old Testament is crucifixion, New Testament is T-pose. That's the terminology.
That's why Jesus followed him. Everyone saw his dominance with the T-pose. Yeah.
Halo theme playing. He's just like gliding through Bethlehem. So left and right, these are Adam and Lilith, respectively. Adam was only briefly seen by humans and was described as a giant of light, whereas Lilith was discovered underneath Japan.
I think I know which one gets stabbed by this Lance of Longinus based on these pictures.
Yeah. Spoilers. So they're seeds. So people gave them like gendered names. They are like just like sexless, pure beings of creation. They don't actually breed with each other.
Yeah.
They're asexual. Yeah. Yeah. But they gave them biblical names because whatever, right? It's, again, sci-fi needs rules.
Yeah, gender's what's between your legs. It's just tumors. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gender's what's between your legs. It's a bunch of tumors and legs. Other pairs of legs.
Okay.
Assigned tumors with other pairs of legs at birth.
So during the crash, Lilith's lance was destroyed. So Adam's lance was just like, sorry, homie, and would place itself within him and put him in suspended animation. This allowed the children of Lilith to populate the earth rather than the children of Adam. I wrote this. I'm having trouble reading it. Lilith's chillins coming out to get some Gatorade are us, the humans. We are the children of Lilith.
Cool.
Whoa.
Adam's children would have been the angels. And the Earth was supposed to be their planet, and where humans were intended to be seeded, who the fuck knows? Like, maybe the first ancestral race wanted to just launch us into the sun or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Maybe Venus?
For bigger penis instead of all those legs, right?
That would be intended. Damn it, what could have been? No!
It sounds like it should have been them. Like, a world full of angels or a world for humans, like... Angels seem to be the better option.
Yeah, you'll see what the angels are like afterwards. They're a little odd at some point.
Okay.
So humans who love to poke their noses into things where they don't belong, especially, which you can look up an article on colonialism if you want to learn more about that. were kind of like
I hate nosy neighbors.
Yeah, all those nosy Spaniards. One such nose poking event was called the Katsuragi Expedition to the South Pole. So a lot of the characters' names are Japanese. I'm also sorry if I fuck up the pronunciation. They're fairly simple, but I might screw them up. The expedition was led by Dr. Katsuragi, whose first name is never given. So I decided for this episode in particular, we're just going to call him Ben Keener Katsuragi after our newest patron.
Okay, our newest patron.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which also,
an idea.
when I said it out loud to myself earlier, I was like, does that work? It does sound like an American adaptation of a very Japanese anime where the new kid at the academy is Ben Keener Katsuragi, was to like for the Four Kids American adaptation.
Yeah. It's the live action adaptation by M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's where you get Ben Keener Katsuragi the Avatar.
Yeah. Ironically, we had to change M. Night Shyamalan's name to Ben as well.
Yeah, so yeah. Yeah. Ben Keener Shyamalan is the director of that movie.
That's right.
So this is the first, the Katsuragi expedition to the South Pole is the first recorded time humanity discovered a seed of life, and this one being the sleeping Adam in stasis because his own lance pierced his chest.
Okay.
With Dr. Katsuragi on the expedition were Gendo Ikari, father of the show's protagonist Shinji, and the doctor's teenage daughter. So Dr. Katsuragi brought his daughter Misato Katsuragi, and she's a main character in the show as well.
Misato Keener.
Ben Keener Misato Katsuragi. Misato would eventually grow up to be the adult woman who would open mouth kiss the 14-year-old Shinji Ikari and promise him sex later during the show, because it's a very normal show that you can put on television for people.
I mean, 90s Japan.
Yeah, I know. She's like 32 at this point.
Definitely not okay. Never was okay, but I guess just explaining why it was there at all.
It's to try and convince him to start saving people. Is she kisses him and promises him the rest when he gets back, which is fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Adam's body was frozen in the ice with his lance stabbed through his chest. The team would initiate what is called a contact experiment, which is when they tried to merge human
with
DNA.
Its stick.
Yeah, exactly. The UN funded the stick, or like paid for the stick that they would bring to the South Pole to prod Adam with.
It's a contact experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. The only cure, you know, fight fire with fire, fight stick with stick.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. So the contact experiment is when they tried to merge human DNA with Adam's body. Gendo left the expedition site shortly before the experiment began. The expedition was organized and funded by Seele, which is spelled S-E-E-L-E, and is German for soul, which is why it's pronounced that way. It's Seele. They're a mysterious shadow government that has been pulling the strings for at least 1,000 years of human history. Okay. And I say that the Katsuragi expedition was the first recorded time in history, recorded time humans discovered Adam, since Seele did not disclose why they were paying for the expedition at this time. Like, our real-life Illuminati doesn't just burn money on shit with no reason, right?
Well, okay, when is this? This is the father of the kids, so this would have been, like, the 50s, 60s that this expedition is taking place? 19?
No, the series, when you watch the anime, it's set in 2015. So this is happening in, I believe it's September 2000.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when we said that, when we say Evangelion may have had something to do with the course of human history, we could have been right. We could be on to something on the subject of shadow governments.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
September 2000, early 2000s.
It was September 13th in the canon, I think, actually. So
Okay, so your Loreboy's canon is that you think that the Seele thought or already knew of its existence and was.
Yes, because Seele had the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered in the 3rd century, and the Dead Sea Scrolls have both history and the future written into them. At least I think. Some of the lore is very difficult on this for this anime, but the Dead Sea Scrolls seem to be able to predict the future. So Seele sees humanity as the usurpers of Earth, stolen from Adam and his angels, and this is the original sin in canon as well. So it's not like stealing knowledge from God, it's usurping the angels on Earth. And they want to use the power of Adam to start something called the Human Instrumentality Project, where all people are combined into a single soul and ending all conflict and evolving into what they just refer to as God, which is the next step in human evolution, is just to become God.
So they're going to, instead of a rib, they're using a hip.
What?
It's the Adam's human rib, right? Human
Human Instrumentality Project. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, opposed to whatever the rib would have been the acronym for.
Okay.
Yes. Really? Instrumentality it's Project.
It's Scooby-Doo saying Human Instrumentality Project.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Human Instrumentality Project.
Yeah, so Scooby and the gang. Yeah.
Scooby's bone created all women, yeah.
Yeah. Give a dog a bone, he'll create humanity.
Yep.
Jinkies, gang. Looks like there's an ancient seed of life buried under that glacier.
Zoinks! Zoinks! Like we've initiated the second impact! So prior to the contact experiment, it was discovered that within Adam, there was a part of him, or at least an organ. It's really, their biology's not like super clear. That gave him limitless energy. This would come to be called the super solenoid, or the S2 engine. Despite it's very likely that it's a flesh and blood organ, a S2 engine is recovered from a dead angel in the anime and used by Seele for nefarious purposes. And we will get into more of those nefarious purposes and the experiment after the break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back from the break, and back to the first contact experiment, or the contact experiment. Excuse me, I don't know why I said that. I didn't even write it. It was just my brain was like, no, it's called this now. So, genetic material from an unknown donor was merged with Adam and appears to have eventually created the being now known as Kaworu Nagisa. He appears as a teenage boy during the series in and around the distant future of 2015, which is when the show takes place. Adam is then reduced to a little kind of human looking embryo fossil in like kind of the size of a chocolate bar, which you guys can bring that up as another one of the spoiler images.
Worst chocolate bar ever. Embryo
it's
fossil.
It's got an angel embryo in it. It's yeah. Touristy, right? It's kitsch. You get the scorpion one, you get the embryo one when you go down Arizona or whatever, right?
Oh, it looks like a Pokemon fossil.
Yeah, it's
yeah, like an embryo, like a human fetus. Like it's got kind of properties, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I see that it's now.
Post zygote. It's got the big head, the big eyes. It's even got the little tail that we're all born with that like retracts into our body, right?
Yeah, where our body grows around, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, does our body grow around the tail?
Grow into our tails.
Naturally, yeah.
That's why we all have that belly button thing at the base of our spine. It's where we grew around the tail, and it's just in there.
I thought you were serious for a second. I was like, you have a belly button on your ass? What are you talking about?
It's just butt cheek dimples.
Yeah. I guess the butthole kind of looks like a belly button.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of balloon knots on the body.
It does.
Yeah.
I used to be afraid as a kid that my belly button was spring loaded, that if I like pressed into it, it would pop back out like a pen kind of thing and all my guts would fall.
Like
out.
A magnetic door, like click, click, click.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was spring loaded. Like I thought if I pressed with it too much, my guts would come out. So I didn't mess with my belly button.
That is wild. That is something that some like uncle or your dad or someone told you at some point and you just like internalize that as a real thing. Like some older guy was just like fucking with you. And that's just one of those things you're like, well, I'm not fucking with that. Like,
no, well, it's good that you were experimenting. Because while the contact experiment seems to have created a bouncing baby boy in what I say his fucking name was, Kaworu. The immediate results of the experiment would end up being called the second impact. So zoinks in the chat, like we said earlier before the break. Mm-hmm. The human atom merger created an anti-AT field, which killed everyone at the expedition site except Misato, and melted all of the ice in Antarctica, flooding huge parts of the Earth and instantly killing 2 billion people. Uh-huh. Zila would cover up this incident and say that it was a meteor that done did it, and certainly not our pursuit of fusing human bodies with angel bodies. That would be crazy.
Someone forgot to close the door on their microwave before they started it, and this is what happens, man.
Yeah, microwave like door down in Antarctica, just like straight to the ice.
You said an AT field. Is that like an actual science thing, or is that an Evangelion thing?
It's an Evangelion thing, which sadly so much happens during the second impact. I had to move the explanation as to what the fuck that means lower down, because it is a huge part of the plot what an AT field is and what an anti-AT field is.
Okay.
All terrain field.
It is.
I mean, well, mostly just field, but all terrain too.
Yeah. Kaworu has legs and he's got 4-wheel drive. That's why. He's the coolest teenager at Nerve.
Wop.
So the meteor melting the ice in Antarctica is based on a real, like, kind of pseudo scientific theory called the Clovis Comet hypothesis, which is a theory that a comet or a meteor like exploded or hit the ice caps about 11,000 years ago on Earth, which is why there is like a sudden reduction in fairly complex Paleolithic life all over Earth. So it's like, again, like more of a flood myth thing as well. Like, but it seems as though there were some North American tribes of primitive people that were wiped out very quickly all at the same time. And one of the theories is that a comet hit Greenland and melted the ice caps, raising the sea level and killing a bunch of them. There's also like a sunken continent with actual arrowheads and all that shit between like England and Norway, which was very clearly flooded very quickly. So this is kind of a play on that real geological theory, basically, of the planet.
We're on the road to it. Did you know that this year they didn't even open the Rideau Canal? We used to go skating on it every summer, every winter.
Did it not freeze enough?
Kids. Didn't freeze enough, so they didn't open it up.
Oy vey.
That's wild. I would have thought this winter of all winters.
This winter was cold as fuck a couple times, but I guess maybe in Ottawa it was different.
I heard this from a person at the park, so I don't know if it's true, but...
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they told me. Yeah.
So the second impact was indeed the intended result of the contact experiment. Zila and its puppet, the United Nations, had read on what could happen in the ancestral race Dead Sea Scrolls. Completely forgot how to read there. I'm sorry.
Wait. So say it again.
Yeah, I gotta retake that because I completely fell apart.
Davey was clearly trying to not knock over his mic or something there, so he wasn't able to listen quite so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zila and the United Nations had the Dead Sea Scrolls, which predicted what would happen during the contact experiment. So they wanted to initiate the second impact, and because, again, they want to convert people into a single being and become God, which is one of the steps towards that.
Dude, we want angel people. Angel monkeys.
We're talking about early September 2000s, the second impact. I don't know, man.
Mr. President, there's been a second impact in Antarctica. So the real Dead Sea Scrolls were found, wouldn't you know it, near the Dead Sea in Palestine, and are from roughly the 3rd century. They contain the earliest known Hebrew stories that would eventually become to be the biblical canon. The ancient Jews neglected to warn us about anime, however. So,
how short-sighted.
So here's the part here. One term I used and did not explain was the anti-AT field, which suggests the existence of an AT field. The absolute terror field, no idea why it's called that, is a normally invisible force that seems to surround everything with a soul. Now, this part I'm a little sketchy on, and again, apologies, fans of the anime. Humans all have a weak AT field around our bodies, which holds us together. At the end of the series, there's a massive anti-AT field that's generated, which overpowers humanity, and everyone turns into orange fluid called LCL. And then and then humanity's souls are transferred into Lilith's Black Moon. LCL might be an abbreviation for Link Connected Liquid, but what we do know about it is that LCL is Lilith's blood. So that part is confirmed, and I will talk more about LCL in the future. The reason I didn't finish writing the script when I was tired yesterday is because it was just fucking made up word salad. I was like, okay, I don't have the neural capacity to handle this right now. Okay.
Yeah. So like human spirit and hope is canonized as the anti-terror field.
Absolute terror field.
Okay.
I mean, if I turned into Gatorade, I would be terrified. So the absolute terror of turning to Gatorade it makes sense.
If I had to be turned into Gatorade, I got turned into the orange one. I would be terrified.
It's the worst. Yeah, thumbs down. I want to be the white one or the green one, personally.
Yeah, I'll red or blue. All of them are better than the orange, I think.
Yes. The second impact turns everybody into the worst Gatorade. I can't believe people love this anime so much. So using the knowledge from the Dead Sea Scrolls, Zila continued to manipulate the world governments into proceeding towards instrumentality, trying to get their ribs, basically.
Yeah.
They set up Gehirn with the UN, and this was an on-paper organization that was supposed to prevent a third impact. And naturally, like any good shadow government, the Gehirn's true purpose was to actually facilitate the arrival of the third impact. So they're like, no, we're not doing the thing we're doing. It's the opposite, actually. Right? Like Elon Musk's electric cars, I guess. It's just like, no, I want to clean things up. It's totally not the complete opposite of that, right? Like, strip mining the Congo.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. There's this, like, really scary miner video that came out yesterday on Reddit where, like, there's just like collapsing and they're digging by hand and people are coming out of these like cobalt mines and the conditions look awful. It's scary as hell.
Yeah.
We have comfortable lives here. We should be very thankful.
Yeah. It never gets better. I would prefer to turn into Gatorade at this point, honestly.
Yeah.
So the post second impact word, like I said, gets a little word salad-y. So I hope we don't get too lost in the sauce here, because I had like a lot of trouble putting it together.
Hey, if we can keep BattleTech in our heads, I'm sure we can manage with.
I can keep BattleTech in my head. So Gehirn created another organization called NERV, which Ethan talked about earlier, that would lead Project E. And using the tiny little Adam embryo, NERV would clone Adam and create the majority of the Evangelion. I don't know if it's Evangelions or whatever, so I just left it like Moose.
Okay.
With no S. Mm-hmm. But there are multiple. I think in the series there's
Evangelions are like the mecha suits, which we haven't really touched on, but I guess that's what, like, to me as a child watching this show and not seeing like any kind of continuity between episodes, just seeing random episodes, I was always like, oh, it's a Japanese mecha anime, you know?
The Evangelion are the Gundams, or they're the mecha suits, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they like stab you in the neck whenever you pilot one or something?
No. We'll get into how they function. We're leading up to the events of the show. Like, if you want to know what happens in the show, just fucking watch it. Like, I'm not gonna summarize that.
Project E was the project to develop the Evangelions from Adam. Yes. I like that because like Project E could be Project Eve, so Adam and Eve, and like taking that rib of Adam to create these.
Oh, an Evangelion,
right?
Yeah. It is EVA instead of EVE, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's all translated from Aramaic anyway, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, fair enough. From Aramaic to Japanese to English.
It wasn't EVE on the Dead Sea Scrolls.
No, I know.
Yeah, someone in Japan read Aramaic scrolls and their interpretation actually became Dark Souls. So
Yeah. that's what happened. I know, we're like three languages through and one of them's dead. So it's like, oh yeah, all right. Nobody speaks Japanese anymore. It's all Aramaic and anime.
Yeah.
Animaic.
The anime.
I can't believe I say that. Aramaic.
Yeah, we need a catchy song to remember how to speak Aramaic, and then it would come back for sure.
Yeah. the Black Moon stored in the water tower at the WB Studios.
Yeah. We keep the Dead Sea Scrolls in our slacks. We're Aramaniacs. where was I here? Right, sorry, David. They would clone Adam from his... he is still technically alive. They do confirm that in the show, that even though he is the size of a chocolate bar or like a cassette tape, he is still alive, and they use that DNA to clone him and create the Evangelion. At some point after the second impact, Lilith and the Black Moon are discovered in Japan, and a base of operations is set up around it called Tokyo 3, because Tokyos 1 and 2 were previously destroyed, one of which in the second impact. And they kept her contained in a chamber called Terminal Dogma. So it's the ultimate, the sub super secret basement of the NERV headquarters, basically.
Okay.
Eva Unit 1, the main Eva of the series, was cloned from Lilith rather than from Adam. So the crucified body with all the leg testicles, one, that was used, the genetic basis from that one, Lilith, was used to create Eva Unit 1. So if you want to open up another spoiler image, you can see the most iconic of the Eva. It's the purple, green, and black one. It's the one that Shinji pilots. Yeah.
This one looks like those tools.
Yeah, it looks exactly like the set of pliers, which I think is, I think it was inspired by the socket wrench.
Are we looking at the purple guy right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Man, I don't even know how to describe this thing. This is a mech suit or a person?
It's both, but it's a mech suit primarily.
Okay.
Yeah. They're huge, too. They're hundreds of feet tall.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's pretty easy. Like, human shaped. Looks like a very, very human-looking mech suit. Like, less blocky than a Gundam.
Yeah.
Right? And he's got a purple horn. He's a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater from this picture.
It is.
He's purple with like orange and green, like offset highlights. Like,
you'll notice.
He's in profile, so I can only see one eye. Like,
It does have two eyes, but yeah, sure. Lore Boys canon. They're cyclops. Eva Unit 0 is a cyclops. It does just have one big red eye in the middle of its head. Cool. That was the first one that they built. It was experimental. You'll notice with the big like shoulder pillars, the silhouette of an Eva and the silhouette of Adam are the same.
Oh yeah, because he got the tall shoulders.
Yeah, exactly. So an Evangelion is a massive part biological, part mechanical being piloted by a human in a cockpit called the entry plug. And that is the thing you were saying, the spike that goes in the back of the head. The pilot sits in a chair that is just like this big tube, and it like screws into the back of the Evangelion, and then that closes up and its head comes up. So you pilot it from like the base of the neck, basically.
Okay. From the cerebral cortex.
Yeah. The plug is filled with LCL, and this allows the pilot to see and feel everything that happens to the Ava, as well as like move it. It becomes a full extension of your body. Like the tutorial episode where Shinji is learning to pilot it, like his arm, or the Eva's arm gets broken, and he feels the pain, and on the radio, they're just like, no, 14-year-old boy, we forgot to tell you, it's not your arm. Like, they explain nothing to him. Yeah. And he's fighting a monster and has one of his arms cut off, and they're just like, no, it's not real, dude, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I think that would actually be the brainstem right there. That's like the part...
I think it's between the shoulders.
Oh,
it's
like up too low, okay.
It's like, well, yeah, it clips up. You sit in here, because I know Shinji's, like, in the first episode when he's fighting one of the angels, it shoots, like, a beam of light through the forehead, and it doesn't kill Shinji, because I think he's below it.
Okay, that's cool.
I think so. It loses one of its eyes in the first episode. You can repair them, like I said, they're built. But yeah. So Evas need to be connected to a power grid at all times. There is a... I think way too overused ticking clock, literally plot point that when a fight is going really badly, the electrical cable called the umbilical cable gets severed. And it's like, oh no, he's only got 5 minutes of backup power left. That's used like 3 or 4 times throughout the series. So like by the third time you see like 5 minutes of power left, you're like, okay, well, like, I know he's going to win. He's the main guy. He's got five minutes left. Like, okay, whatever.
We had 5 minutes of episode left anyways. This is
exactly. Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, to say that anime doesn't do, like, cliffhangers is pretty, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, Goku charged a spirit bomb for, what, 4 episodes? Like,
yeah. I think it was one full charge up. Yeah, yeah. I think there was, like, he introduced it, and then one full charge up, and then he finally shoots it. So, 3, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned before, the infinite energy S2 engine from an angel, from a seed body, from Adam's body, is not installed in the Eva units. So that's why they need to be plugged in all the time. But like I said, Zila does get their hands on a S2 engine eventually, and they use it for bad purposes. But the original Eva series do not have S2 engines inside of them. Okay. The Eva units were built specifically to fight the children of Adam, the angels. Zila knew that the angels would like show up eventually, and if they came into contact with Lilith, they would prematurely start human instrumentality. And they got all this information again from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Where the 15 angels came from, I think there's 15 at least, that's the number I saw, came from is unknown. Some people say that Adam laid eggs of the angels all over the planet when he showed up, or maybe they were just instantly created during Second Impact. There was like some other like soul Karen, like soul chamber concept called the Doors of Guff that I did not look into because I was getting too out in the weeds when I was putting this together. And it's like the 15 souls may have escaped the Doors of Guff during Second Impact and created the 15 angels, basically.
Okay.
But they knew that they would show up, and then they just fucking showed up. This the third angel shows up in 2015. That's when the series starts, because Adam and Lilith are the first and second angels. So the third angel is the first bad guy.
When you say show up, you don't mean show up on Earth, but you mean show up in the story, essentially. Show up to all intents and purposes.
Precisely. Yeah. They might have been around the whole time. We found they show up in episode 1 of the show, which is set in 2015. People don't know where they came from. They could have appeared spontaneously at that point. So angels can take many forms. Sometimes they appear as a large humanoid monster or just like a geometric shape. You guys can open an image there where I have 3. You have the first one that Shinji fights, the third angel. My personal favorite in the middle, which is humanoid but has like little wispy ribbon arms. And then one that's just a big fucking cube.
That's a D8.
Yeah, we do. You do have a...
I guess it's not a cube, eh? That's true. Yeah.
D8 looking motherfucker. You've got a guy with, again, tall shoulders, but also maybe just a low head, a head between the shoulders, if you will.
No neck, either way.
No neck, either way. Yeah. He's the 90 Day Fiance, no neck guy, no neck net, or whatever it is.
Got, yeah, the third angel is the mayonnaise guy.
Yeah, he's got bone pauldrons. He's got some like ribs on the outside holding a big red circle, a dodgeball.
The gem, the big red crystal in the middle, is the S2 engine.
Okay,
that's where it gives it infinite power.
Yeah. That's where your video games shoot. Okay.
Video games shoot it in the series, too. Like, they all have weapons. Like, the Evas have gigantic guns and rocket launchers. None of them ever fucking do anything. Every single fight devolves into them just, like, punching or stabbing the S2 engine with, like, a giant knife, and that's just, like, how all their problems are resolved.
I already said that. I'll post these pics in a channel, and the patrons remind me if I don't do it, because I'll do it.
Then we got Zeruel, who's very similar. His orb is lower. He's got less bone on him, but he still has the bone shoulders. He's like, he's the if the first angel is the tall robot from Portal 2, this guy's the short and stocky robot from Portal 2.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Right, Peabody and Atlas, respectively.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we just Cube.
And then the third one is a blue D8.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Should it be called Evangelion, right? Because they're angels. Like it says in the name.
And should it be Eve Angelion?
Eve Angel Yon.
Yeah, we can call it that from now on, actually. I'm sure nobody who loves the show will mind that we started calling that halfway through the episode.
Oh, yeah. I like this new show, Evangelion.
I like evil angel lions. Or...
That's going to give it away when people try to guess. So during testing of Project E, Yui Ikari, Gendo's wife and Shinji's mother, disappears within the LCL inside Unit 1's cockpit and is never seen again. Small amounts of her remains are found, and she's cloned multiple times into a teenage girl named Rei. Shinji hears his mother's voice at one point within the LCL when he's piloting Eva-1, and jacks off to Rei's unconscious body at one point too, which is very cool.
What?
Yeah.
Weird. Not only weird that they wrote that, weird that you decided to bring it back up in our episode.
Wow. Hey, I brought up the Misato kissing Shinji part. Like, just because we're covering the episode does not mean I'm going to let you people get away with not being creeps, okay?
Yeah. We need, like an AP field, like an anti-pedophilia, anti-pervert, whatever.
Yeah, the AP field.
Yeah.
Anti-pervert field would be useful, I think. Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of anime. I do think this is like this one is more a product of the time in anime in the 90s, but then I also think that this one is notoriously a more problematic one for a lot of that stuff.
I mean, we were joking about the toolkit. There's like body pillows of all these characters who are in canon are 14 years old, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's crazy.
I mean, most of my pillows are pretty young, but like I don't have a pillow that's older than 14. But I don't have pictures of 14-year-old girls. On
you need your AP field. Your absolute pillow field is what you're looking for when you want to crash, right?
My dentist says you got to change your pillow every 3 months. So
I don't know.
Your dentist?
Because I'm always grinding in my sleep. That's, he means getting patrons while we're sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, we're stacking paper while you're sleeping. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Gendo's intentions with his wife's clone are made clear in the show, so I won't spoil them. They're not fucked up, thankfully. He's not trying to grow a new wife or anything like that. So it's which, you know, like, I don't know why I have to specify that, but we're talking about fucking Evangelion. It's like, Gendo is not growing wives. Don't worry about it. It's not a major part. It's not a 3-episode arc or anything like that.
Yeah.
Evas all appear to have souls because they all have gigantic AT fields. They're used in combat as well. So if you're powerful enough, you can put up your AT field as a shield. The angels do it. The Evas do it. When Eva 1 is fighting the third angel, which is the skinny one that you were talking about, the guy from 90 Day Fiancé, the 90 Day Fiancé guy uses mayonnaise to put up an AT field. And then Eva 1 tears it open with its bare hands, and they're like, oh, fuck, he ripped through the AT field. That's crazy, sort of thing.
Okay.
So AT fields are used, like, some of them have strong ones, some of them have weak ones. The middle angel I showed can use its AT field as, like, a hammer, so it, like, crushes people with it, which is pretty fucking cool. Okay. As well as it shoots out its little ribbon arms to, like, cut people's arms and legs off, too. It's all... It is very cool.
Yeah. or absolute terror field makes like a bit more sense then, right? If this like weird ass angel can turn it into a giant hammer that he can Gallagher you.
Yeah, exactly.
We keep talking about wanting his head to be crushed like a watermelon, but between thighs, not beneath Gallagher's giant hammer.
Yeah, or Gallagher's AT field where he's crushing watermelons on stage without touching them.
Man, we have a little bit of that. It'd be cool if we could at least send an email or something without our hands. Like,
yeah. I mean, you can use, if you have a personal assistant on your phone, like I use Siri for a bunch of shit.
Siri, the AT field, the absolute terror field Siri can send emails for humans.
Siri, activate my anti-terror field or absolute terror field.
Your address is...
She didn't understand me. She told me to try again.
Yeah. Siri, what's my address? Siri, what's my bank card?
Yeah, sorry, phone's on vibrate, and I'm hearing you through the headphones. So yeah, Evas all appear to have souls of a living person within them, except maybe Unit Zero, since Rey is the pilot of Unit Zero, and she's a clone and doesn't have a mother. The Red Eva, Unit 2, was the first built completely for killing angels. It's the most dangerous one. It's got, like, retractable spikes in its back that it can shoot out like a shotgun if it ever gets tackled, which does happen in End of Evangelion, the movie that ends the series. It's got, like, a cassette shape, like a square slot that pops up and shoots out these spikes, and it like decapitates the thing that it's fighting, which is cool. Again, very cool.
Sounds cool.
Ridiculous name. Kyoko Zeppelin Soryu, the mother of Asuka Langley Soryu, is the soul that is inside Eva Unit 2, and Asuka is the one who pilots Eva 2, the red one. She's the feisty German redheaded girl who, you know, she bullies Shinji for being the quiet guy, basically. Okay. She's eventually butchered by by angels towards the end.
Cool.
It's a great fight, but yeah, again, wow. They're 14.
That sounds like a cool alternate title. It's just butchered by angels.
I mean, if we ever release an album, that's what we're gonna call it. Well, like, okay, so when we release our album of Creed covers, which is gonna happen after we hit 1 million downloads in like 40 days, that's when we drop the fucking album.
I've been tempted to burst out singing "I'm Still Alive" more than once. This episode,
but yeah, community night was finished with Creed. It was great.
Yes.
Yeah. Where was I here? Right, so basically the way that they would take people's bodies and merge them with the Eva core, the soul, was also a contact experiment, but merging a person with an Evangelion doesn't cause another impact. So it's a successful version of the experiment. While this is happening, Sela is working on making mass production Evas who require neither a pilot nor electricity. So they use cloned atom material to create what's called a dummy plug. So there's no one in the cockpit. And they have S2 engines that they took from one of the angels that Shinji kills.
Cool. Self-driving angels, dude. We got them.
Yeah.
Let's give a self-driving car an infinite battery and no way to stop it. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically Horizon when the dolphins go out or the machines start going out and eating dolphins and stuff.
If Elon Musk had an infinite power source, do you know how many 14-year-olds Teslas would run over? Like, it'd be amazing.
That would be the last episode of Evangelion. Instead of Asuka going out fighting the production models of the Eva, it would just be her on the street being hit by 14 different ugly cars.
Yeah. 14 different fucking ugly cars invented by like some asshole billionaire who owns a fucking apartheid
who killed
mine.
An angel.
Yeah,
Elon,
exactly.
Elon Musk, more like Elon Stinky.
Got him. So I said she's goes down fighting angels. Asuka is slaughtered by the
Evangelion.
Evangelion, exactly.
Evangelion.
There we go. We got it.
Evangelion.
Leon. Just a big mech suit and that picture of him back when he was still like on a computer balding.
Well, obviously, because there's no pilot in the entry plug, it's the production model of the Evangelion are powered by hair plugs and their S2 engines, right? You've got it like when they come out, instead of retracting the tube into the back of the Eva, it's just like all the hair gets sucked into its forehead and then it activates.
The way that you describe the thing going into the back of his neck is the same way that the guy who goes, "The old dick twist."
He got a dick twist in the kid so he can pilot the soul of his mom, right, and kill a monster. Makes perfect sense.
Yep.
No, she's killed by the production model. So the mass produced Evas that don't need a child to pilot them. And honestly, they're portrayed as the villains because they killed everybody. The UN did make, you know, anti-angel war machines that did not require 14-year-olds to pilot. So I think actually Zila's the good guys, personally. Okay. So in 2015, the angels begin attacking Tokyo 3 in an attempt to reach Lilith, which is when the show happens and like when it kicks off. Shinji and Asuka are brought in to pilot their moms by Gendo and Nerve, and then the rest of the series continues. So that's it. That is much like the end of Evangelion. This is the end of our Evangelion episode. I have been your shadow government. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that yeah.
Congratulations.
We're all standing in a river clapping at Pete, man.
Oh, yeah. I have been your shadow government, Peter O'Donohue. At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come see the silly picture of Scooby-Doo that I drew this week. It's going to be great. I guarantee it.
They've already seen it at this point. I would think so. But
I hope so. Yeah. Well, no, because I don't wake up at five when I don't wake up at five in the morning when this comes out. And I time the I do the Instagram post when I wake up.
Pete's convinced himself that since it's on the same day, it's on time. Is what he said.
And that is also true. Yeah. Sometimes if I fuck up and miss it, I will just like, well, before midnight on Wednesday is good enough. But yes, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope we did it justice. I know I have some criticisms for Eva, like, you know, the kids stuff, but overall, it's a very cool show and a lot of great sci-fi. So it's pretty neat. But fellas, are you going to watch the anime now?
Yeah, what's happening on Discord?
Probably not.
Anime and then talk about it in the anime channel on Discord.
Yeah, come hang out in Discord. We got a bunch of new channels hang out. We got a fun out of context quotes one, so you can get some crazy shit from. So, like for example, drink your stolen breast milk and take a nap was an Ethan comment from our Blizzard episode last week.
Fantastic like, quote.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of quotes there. Yeah, that's a fun new one. Like I said, I'm gonna try and get it so these pictures get posted at 5 a.m. with the episode in a separate thing for the Prime folks. I probably have to get a bot for scheduled posts, but I'll figure that out afterwards. Discord's getting better and better all the time. It's a perfect time to get in because there's the whole Discord arc going on. There's drama. It's off the charts. It's crazy. You have to get in there. And yeah, you go discord.gg/loreboys and it'll bring you.
Thanks to the boosters for that one.
Yeah, there's, I mean, we've talked about it for a long time, but there is a brewing war feud between all the boys here, and you know they're really mobilizing on the Loreboys server. Someday we'll create a like proper, I'll create channels that you know these other two can't see, you know, and then we can really plan our strategy against them.
And I'm Discord shadow war.
Yeah, by the way, I added cool emojis to every channel, and some patrons said they didn't like it and told me to take it down. So if you like emojis, join and outweigh them. So because I'm gonna put a poll out soon, we're bringing the emojis into the server.
We're gonna kill everyone in Lore City and take over the town in Minecraft.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice or on Spotify or wherever. Really helps the show. Even if it doesn't feel like you're contributing a lot, you really are by telling people about us. It's the only way we've ever grown, and gosh, we're coming up on a milli, you know what I mean? That's crazy. Yep. So thanks so much, everybody. Really means the world for everybody who has done so far and kind of continues to do so. Fighting the good fight out there, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
We do also have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. If you want to contribute financially, we have a whole host of really amazing patrons who, you know, get their own space in the Discord server. We'll get access to the episode art, get access to the fun loser games title, and a couple other cool things that we try and do for them. So if you're interested, if you have the money to give, consider joining patreon.com/theloreboys. Every little bit really, really helps. And we have tiers as low as $3 USD a month, if that works for you.
A buck a boy.
Up to $99 USD a month, which only Terry has ever done. So thanks, Terry.
We did a D&D game with them.
We did D&D with them. So confirmed, yeah. The $99 tier is real. It was a joke, and then someone pulled the trigger on it. We were like, shit. Okay.
Yeah. I think I owe him like two more D&D games, but
it's hard to get him. The daughter is just like, I don't have the time for this shit. It's just I need an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was more, he's in Australia and it's really hard. And he ended up like waking up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday to play D&D with us. Yeah. I think that ended up happening. So, because Lord knows I'm not getting Jamie and Pete up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday to play with you. So. Yeah, if you guys want to check that out, patreon.com/loreboys. Thanks so much. And if you guys don't trust them, of course, we do have Loreboys Prime, where, you know, we are, as we said, kind of we're starting back up the old rivalry. You know what I mean? I have it on pretty good authority that Pete's going to be standing in a river pretty soon doing some clapping. I don't want to spoil too much, but I think you might have a boo to full day when me and my crowd show up, Peter. Okay. A
boo, don't you boo. Fucking care, dude.
I'm going to boo your final episode.
No.
you're fine. When you do JoJo part 87, because you're only doing JoJo for now on.
Exactly. It's just an anime show now on my end.
I know you're a big fan of Bioshock, and I played Bioshock 1 last night. I know what to do when someone's standing in the water. You just fucking electricity plasmid that, and then you kill Peter on the spot.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. And then you never get me to cover JoJo part 8 or whatever, the one with the horse and the paralyzed guy.
Yeah. It's true. Oh,
you're walking towards me, electric zap in the water.
Yep.
Boom.
Yes. There you go.
All right. See you, big daddies, later.
Yeah. See you, big daddies, later. And that'll be a lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.